The autumn wind is a pirate.
Welcome, Raider Nation, to the Raider Nation podcast. I'm your host, Raider Greg. Welcome to the show as the season rolls to its final destination, and it's not the playoffs. We got one final game. We're going to hit on that. And this last game with the Zebras, we'll hit on that as well here on show 631. All right, Raider Nation, on today's show, we will do the post-game for my Blue Ponies. Yeah, that was kind of a funky game. Funky game because we lost, and it wasn't because of a penalty, even though it was because of a penalty. We should beat these guys anyway, but we didn't. We're going to hit on that. We're going to hit on the Broncos. They're coming to town, coming to Vegas. I expect to see many Bronco fans, because that whole area around Las Vegas and north and east and west of there is Bronco country. Nice job, Mark. We're going to hit on the possible coaches for the Raiders. And then a little tidbit about the Zebras. And the bone line should wrap it up. All right, Raider Nation, it's almost over. Got one more game. And then we'll see the drama of the Raiders unfold and see what Mark Davis has in store for us as far as a coach and who knows whatever. I'm hearing all kinds of funky stuff. Let's talk about it.
The captains are at midfield in the Colts logo helmet. And let's go downstairs to our referee, Sean Smith, for today's coin toss.
Welcome, gentlemen, and welcome to regular season week 17. With Las Vegas being the visiting team, they will make the call. This side is tails, this side is heads. What's your call?
Heads.
Heads is the call. Heads, you won the toss. Las Vegas has won the toss and elected to defer their choice to the second half. Indianapolis will receive the ball on this end of the field. Good luck, gentlemen.
All right, so the Raiders defer, put that defense out on the field. First link for Antonio Pierce, who today will coach. Remember, he took over after the loss on Monday night in Detroit week 8. Has been the head coach since. He is 4-3 as the interim head coach. Was asked this week about his feelings about whether he can be the permanent guy. He said, look, my resume is out on the field.
That's right.
And that field has been the defense, which since he has taken over has led the NFL in points allowed per game.
Well, I think the proof is in the pudding. If you talk about a team taking on its identity of the head coach, then that's exactly what this team has done. The Raiders defense is playing phenomenal football recently, and main reason why the Raiders have been in a lot of games. Now, we can sit there and talk about what we want going back to Minnesota, but we saw a big-time game against the Chargers. We saw a big-time game last week against one of the more prolific offenses in the National Football League. Hopefully it can continue today.
Well, they also have 24 sacks since he took over. That is fifth best in the NFL. 13 takeaways, sixth best in the NFL. Obviously, this defense has been great. Can the offense come along today and put the Raiders in position next week to have a shot at the playoffs?
My Blue Ponies. That's this game. 23-20. The Colts beat the Raiders in their house. You know, they had something to play for. We did too, but we didn't play as we could. Our offense is staggering through the last two games of the season, just like a drunk out of the bar, trying to make it happen, trying to make it home, but not quite getting there like in this game.
I've been talking to some NFL people in the last few days about, from the personnel side of things, what's the biggest issue facing the Raiders this offseason, and it's 100% quarterback. And, you know, that's nothing against Aiden O'Connell. And I think that there's people out there who see Aiden as, you know, a potentially, a decent starter or a very good backup. But you just mentioned something very important, and I think it's kind of been handcuffing the Raiders, not just this year, but really, frankly, recently. And that's the inability of quarterbacks to be able to make plays with their legs. And, you know, there's only one Lamar Jackson. We get that. We understand that. But there's quarterbacks now, and it seems to be trending in this way more and more, where because, you know, I was talking to an offensive lineman who readily said the level of play on the offensive line throughout the league is down. It's there's a lot of reasons for that, but it's down. And more quarterbacks are playing under fire. Quarterbacks are playing under duress. They always have in the NFL, but now more than ever. And the inability of Raider quarterbacks to be able to offset that with their athletic ability, with their legs, to buy time, to what you said, roll out and still be able to function at a high level, run it when you need to, is something that I think has handcuffed this team and this organization for a while now. And I think it's incumbent on them ASAP to find a quarterback that can do a lot more than what their quarterbacks have done this year and in the past.
O'Connell, you know, if you look at his records, it looks, you know, looks pretty good. 30 of 47 for almost 300 yards, 2 touchdowns. I'd say that was a great game. But the missed passes, the missed opportunities, Zamir Wright ran for 71 yards on 20 attempts. I don't think that was enough attempts. We got to get him up closer to 30. They had a good game plan. They played well for us. They played well against us. They ran the ball like beasts. They really ran the ball well. Better than us. Taylor, 21 carries, 96 yards, a touchdown. Oh, gosh. Minshew. Gardner Minshew. 15 of 23 for 224 yards and a touchdown. Minshew. I mean, this guy looks like he's the high school quarterback. He acts like it's a very childish guy. But, you know, they barely beat us. They missed the field goal. If we wouldn't have been penalized incorrectly, by the way, by the Zebras, then we would have won the game or at least tied it. But no, that wasn't meant to be. In so many Raider games, do I need to say the Zebras are lame, so lame, and I'm thinking the NFL is finally getting a grip on it, because other teams that have opportunities to win, like the Lions, got hosed by these knuckleheads. And, well, you know, we lost this game. Defense didn't play as well as they did the game before by any stretch. Matter of fact, not very well at all. They played okay. We let a lot of guys get through. A lot of running plays got by. Minshew didn't really get touched. Didn't even get a, you know, grass stain. So,
what was it about the game in Indy where they only lost by 3 points, and they could have stayed alive and could have had an opportunity to make the playoffs with the win against Denver? For me, it was third down again and the struggles on third and short and the inability to pick up first downs when they have to pick up first downs. It's driven me nuts all year long. Didn't matter if it's Bo Hardigree, Aiden O'Connell. Doesn't matter if it was Jimmy Garoppolo, Josh McDaniels. Whatever it was, is that it was never easy. And if it was easy, I think the Raiders would be a playoff team. My biggest pet peeve is the inability for the Las Vegas Raiders to pick up third and short. I don't know what it is. If it was different for the Raiders, because the Raiders have a talent. They have a lot of offensive talent. So it shouldn't be hard to do something easier. Third and one and third and two should be easier than third and nine and third and 10. But for the Raiders, it's not. Third and one, third and two, I believe they think themselves out of it. It gets confusing. What are we going to do? What should we do here? Should we run it up the middle? Should we run it off left guard or right guard? What should we do here? Should we take a shot and throw it deep? Should we force the ball to Devontae? Should we get Hunter involved? No, we don't get Hunter involved. And it just became every third and one, every third and two I looked at, I was like, here we go again. Why just can't it be such an easy play? Why does it take so long to figure out that Aiden O'Connell on third and one could sneak it twice, have back-to-back sneaks and get a first down? Why weren't there more quarterback sneaks of Aiden O'Connell? I thought that was a big swing and miss. And for me, the big part of it is the handoff up the middle, the handoff into the pile. It hasn't just been this offensive coordinator. It's been all the coaches lately. When you start a player 7 yards deep, when you have to go 1 yard, and you're starting and you really have to get 8 yards by the time that running back takes off, it seems like this team, the Raiders, get hit behind the line of scrimmage more than they should. And Lincoln Kennedy and I and Eddie Pascal really dove into that today on Raiders Roundtable, trying to figure out why it was so difficult. I talked to a Hall of Famer about it who, you know, doesn't want his name on the air. It's not negative, but he told me that the Raiders don't have a play on third and one. They don't have a signature play. Mahomes has 12. Mahomes rolls right, he rolls left, quarterback draw, bootleg, naked bootleg, little dump off to Travis Kelce, little pass at the line of scrimmage. You never know what Kansas City's going to do because they keep you off guard. You don't know what to do because they have Mahomes. When you have a quarterback who isn't very, what's the word I'm looking to say? You got a quarterback that is more one-dimensional, that doesn't have 3 or 4 leg tricks in the play calling. That would be Aiden O'Connell or Jimmy Garoppolo. It's easier for the defense to stuff the box and for the defense to take the runaway. Really, that's the way you beat the Raiders in 2023. Now it's 2024. You stuff the box. You have your linebackers play right up to the line of scrimmage. You have your defensive tackles pinch in, and you think the Raiders are going to run it up the middle, and you're just going to get bodies there before the running back gets to the line of scrimmage. Am I wrong? I know I'm not wrong. That's all I talked about this year. So in the future, if you have a mobile quarterback that can move and sprint right, sprint left, throw on third and short, or just find a way to dive forward for a first down, I think that just gives the Raiders more opportunities and targets to take deep shots and get a new fresh set of downs. That's why they lost. The reason they lost to Indy is Indy said to the Raiders, we are going to run it. You know we're going to run it. We're going to run it 12 in a row over 3 drives, and you are not going to stop our running game. And then Indy said, we're not worried about Aiden O'Connell beating us in the air. We're going to stuff the box on 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2, and you're going to punt. Why is this a problem, in your opinion, going forward? Because this can't happen again. We can't have another season next year where we have the talent of Jacoby Myers and Michael Mayer and Devontae Adams and a really good running back and continue to miss on 3rd and short. It's got to be fixed, not cleaned up. No, not cleaned up. It needs to be fixed. How would you fix that going in against the Broncos, even though the game doesn't matter for the playoffs, but it's an important game to sweep a division rival?
So, you know, this is just one of those end of the year games. We got nothing to really play for except the coach. The players seem to like the coach. You know, I've got my opinions on that. I think he's okay. I think, you know, as a rah-rah guy, he's pretty good. But we need an offensive coordinator bad. We need a quarterback bad. We need a lot of things very badly. And I don't know if he's up to the job. I don't. He was a linebacker's coach, 2 years experience. To me, that's just not enough. I mean, it's enough to get the players riled up because you've been in the trenches, but it's just not enough to handle the entire team, offense, defense, and special teams. No, you need a lot of help, and this team needs a lot of help on the offensive side and also on the defensive side. The team is not playing well, really, because we're not consistent, which is the death knell for teams in the NFL. If you're not consistent, then you're not going to win very many games. And that goes throughout the board. We've all seen it. And, well, I'll just put this to bed. Bummer loss. Could have won. Wouldn't have made much difference. But, yeah. You know, this is a perfect example of why the Zebras need to be trained professionally. And I'm going to get into that right now. Okay, here's what it takes to be a zebra in the NFL. You have to have a degree, 4-year degree in whatever. It could be underwater basket weaving, but you have to have a degree. Then you have to referee at all levels of competition. So you could start off as a high school referee and go to college, junior college, major college referee. Then if you're really good and you get into some of those bowl games, then you can transfer and apply to the NFL and be accepted. Where's the referee school? That's your school. The school is your experience. The school is you need to learn the regulations on the road by yourself. They're employed by the NFL for the season. And that is it. Then you go back to underwater basket weaving, engineering, attorney, whatever it is that you do for a full-time job for the rest of the season, the rest of the year, the off-season. So you get paid $200,000. That's the starting salary or average salary of an NFL referee. And then you go back to gardening or teaching or attorneying or whatever you're doing on the off season. Well, this has been a gripe of coaches forever. They're not NFL employees. They're NFL part-time employees. And they're not held to really any standard. Here's their standard. If you're good and you do a good job, you get to do the postseason games. Those crews and guys that work well together and get calls correct, not all the time, but get majority of calls correct, go on to the playoffs, and then the best referee team you would think goes to the Super Bowl. Not always, but you would think. Now, as of this year, of all the buffoonery that's been going on, the NFL has finally made the referee a full-time job. Yeehaw. About doggone time for a professional. You know, you have professionals. You call them professional coaches, professional players. It's about time you get a professional referee. Now, the NFL has not figured out how they're going to train them or the whole program about their salary and retirement. They have their union. There's a lot going on. But I'm hoping that it improves the buffoonery that happens during the season. Games are decided. Seasons are decided. Playoffs are decided on a mistake. On a mistake like the Lions' mistake with the Cowboys or our mistake with the Colts. And we can go back years, decades actually, and see how we've been hosed by the Zebras. Not just us, although we have been the most penalized team in the NFL forever, which I always say is statistically impossible. But it seems that they don't like us so much, and they seem to continue to penalize the Raiders above and beyond. It's been happening my whole life. So I've always said we have to beat them as well as the other team. We have to score so much that the penalties don't matter. That's how it has to be. The coaches have understood it because when you don't, like getting a $100,000 fine, for you and I would be devastating, but for the coaches, they can afford it. They don't want to. Who'd want to? Players as well. Mahomes had to pay some money. Other players that complained about the Zebras had to pay some money. But, you know, honestly, I always say, and you've probably heard me say this before, why are they not required to go to the post-game press conference? Why are they not required to stand in front of the media and answer questions about their calls and their decisions on the field? Now, I strongly believe that this will make officiating 100 times better. I think before they reach in that pocket to throw that flag, they will think twice and make sure that it's the correct call. And if it's not, when they just do their little discussions like they do on the field, it gets overturned or there's a little more discussion. However it goes, I think it'd be much better by far to have the referee responsible for the game that they called. And I'm talking about the head guy. So that when he goes back to do another game, he grabs all his compadres and says, hey, listen, man, I don't want to go through that press conference thing again like I did last time. Let's get these calls right. Let's do this the right way. And I'm sure that they had these discussions, but I think this might weed out some of the less effective and efficient referees. It's a problem. It's a problem in our game. It's becoming more of a problem, and the NFL can't hide behind the zebras anymore, thus the full-time zebra program. I think they get it. I hope they get it right. I hope they get the training right. I hope they get the, I just, like, and I'd love to see him up on the podium after the game answering questions, tough ones. Why did you call that offsides? Why did you call that call? Why did you call that pass interference? Why didn't you call this one? They would be super entertaining, if anything else, because they would have to answer all those questions for all of us and not just run away to the locker room, take their shower, and go back home. I think that's the travesty of this league. I think the league is great as far as the players. The way the game's set up is pretty good. Pretty good. But the way it's managed, the way it's called, the penalties is a problem. And the NFL better fix that. And on the same note, let me just dive into the subscription nonsense. Now, each year, the teams get $330 million handed to them in a big duffel bag. It's probably a check or whatever, but I'm saying they get the bag of $330 million. That's the television rights for that season. Each team, all 32. And then they get revenue in the parking, they get tickets, they get concessions, they get, gear, they get all kinds of different money. And then now the NFL has got the grand idea, let's go to Peacock. Let's Peacock a game. You know, we already have to get the Thursday Night Football on a subscription service that you have to pay extra for. Where do you think that money goes? It goes to the teams. It goes to the owners. That's their money. Now, I'm all about making money. Amen. Make money. That's fine. How much is enough? How much money is enough to hold your fan base? Because I'm telling you, for me, I'm an old guy. And, you know, I pay my bill, my cable bill. I got Dish, so I watch what Dish is playing. But the last thing I'm going to do, and this is probably why my show won't last much longer, is pay more money to see a ball game. Have to subscribe to the NFL Network to see a ball game. Now, if I subscribed to the network and they were commercial free, they didn't have advertisements, they didn't have that extra revenue as well, maybe they'd be worth it not to listen to a bunch of mumbo jumbo while the game is going on. But no, you got to pay and you got to listen to the nonsense, the deodorant, you know, the pee pads, the you name it, the gambling. The gambling revenue is insanity. They make money on that too. But, you know, the commercials on gambling, that happens every 5 seconds. And you have to pay extra for that? No, my friend. The NFL was a great league when it was on normal TV for normal guys, folks like me and you, that just turn their TV on and watch the game in their area. That's fine. If you don't want to have the game played over here, well, then maybe you have to pay something or not watch it. You know, if they don't want their fans, let me give you an example for us, Raiders, the Bay Area, full of Raider Nation. Still, there are millions of fans here that love their team. LA, same difference. But when it comes down to some of these games, they black us out. They make us pay. We have to watch, you know, Tampa Bay and the Browns. That's our game, because that's what they decided, because they want to force you to pay for a subscription. Baloney. Or like I used to say, and I'll say it again, that's bullshit.
That's some bullshit.
Because I'm over it. And that's another thing. I'm just not into that whatsoever. And the NFL is going to lose me completely as a fan if this nonsense continues. Because A, I don't want to pay. B, there's lots of people out there that just can't do it. So you got to go to a bar and hope that they have the game? I don't think so. I don't think so, Tim. That's not something I believe in. If you want to make your money, NFL, make it. You're making millions and millions of dollars on revenue for TV and gambling and all the other nonsense you got going on. Don't screw the fan because you want more money. You're making plenty. You're all billionaires, and I don't want to hear you whining about how tough you've got it, because no one, and I mean no one, should listen. And that's all I got to say about that. Okay, well, this is a big subject for the Raider Nation. The next coach. Oh, gosh. You know, it seems like I say that an awful lot on this show. Too much, that's for sure. So, as usual, there's all the experts talking about what and who we should pick and why. I have my pick. I mean, Antonio Pierce is, blowing up the internet with Raider fans that want to keep him as our head coach. Well, you know, we might end up with him, and we'll see what happens. I don't know. I'm not a fan of a defensive coach in any stretch of the word. You know, we could get Dan Quinn here, who's been a head coach, and I wouldn't be happy, because defensive coaches don't do well with teams that have a bad offense. They never seem to get it fixed. And it seems to be their colossal downfall in the end for any team they've been on. That's why I harp on offensive-minded coaches. Now, our last coach was a knucklehead offensive-minded coach, but he wasn't a coach. A coach is like Antonio Pierce, like Dan Quinn, like Andy Reid. Like, good coaches connect with players, and they get the most out of them. McDaniels has never done that in his entire life, even when he was a rat. So, you know, I don't think he counts very much in this scenario, but going on. My choice would be Jim Harbaugh, coming back to the Raiders, fixing us and leading us into, you know, next year playoffs, you know, getting a quarterback. But, you know, this is a problem. Of all the openings, I just don't think we're good. We don't have a franchise quarterback. That's a big problem. It's a big problem for a coach, because a coach rides or dies with a quarterback. That's how it goes. I mean, that's how it's going for every head coach, because the quarterback position is so important. I mean, it means a lot. Quarterback, you know, in a game could swing the game 10 points, 7 points, 6 points, at least 6. Just having a decent quarterback puts 6 points on you. So O'Connell, I mean, he's learning. Maybe he'll develop into a great quarterback. I don't know. I can't see that from here. He's got a long way to go, very long way to go. But he started off in the 4th round, so maybe he's got potential. You know, I'm not seeing it. Maybe other guys are. Randy seems to think he reminds him of Plunkett when he first started. Not very good, trying to figure out the game. Maybe that's who we have. I hope we do have Jim Plunkett. But Jim Harbaugh would be my choice. Doubtful he'll come here. You know, I think he'll go to the Chargers, and wouldn't that be lovely? Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh, and Sean Payton as the nemesis of our division. Boy, we would be, it would be brutal for the Raiders to go against those guys every year with Antonio Pierce. That'd be a tough one. It'd be a tough for any coach. But these are the realities of what we're dealing with. Eric Bieniemy is another guy that they're saying can come here. Now, he's the head case. He's a tough, stern coach. I just don't know if this team is ready for that. I don't know if he can be a head coach. That's why he hasn't gotten the nod as of yet. David Shaw, you know, he's the Stanford head coach who lost. He couldn't get his team to win. He couldn't recruit players at Stanford. I don't think Shaw's the man, but his name comes up an awful lot. He's probably lobbying for the job because he needs the money. Kellen Moore, offensive coordinator for the Chargers. Now, I see Kellen Moore. I see the Chargers. I see they have a great quarterback, and he can't make it happen for them. No, thank you. Thank you for trying. Thank you for applying, but no thanks, because you don't do a good job. Ben Johnson, offensive coordinator for the Lions, also a guy that's doing a pretty good job, but they have Jared Goff, and he's doing okay. I mean, they're not blowing the doors off anybody. I don't know about this guy. I don't know much about him, but he's a name out there as well. Dan Quinn is another guy. Shane Wilder, offensive coordinator for the Seahawks. Another head coaching position that could, a guy that could throw his hat in the ring that's never been a head coach at all. I know Harbaugh, you guys are sick of hearing me say it, but he's got the experience. Not only does he has an experience, he's a winner anywhere he's gone. He's a winner. They offered him a $150 million 10-year contract just recently from the university. You know, we might have to beat that number. I don't care. Pay it. You know, here's another thing. In college, all the leagues are changing so much. There's a lot of transfers. There's a lot of influx. That's the only reason I have hope that he'll come to us, because it's not as fun. It's not as comfortable. He doesn't have as much time off. It's just like being an NFL coach. Come to the Raiders, make more money, and win games. The other thing that Harbaugh brings with him is experience on new players. He is a head coach at a college, a highly decorated college, a college that sees great players all over the country. He knows who's good. He can talk to these guys who's he's seen play on his own field. This is the guy who could really pick players for our draft. He knows them. He's seen them play himself, not depending on someone else to give you a grade for a guy. He's a head case. Yes, he's quirky. Absolutely. I love every bit of that. I would love those press conferences. I would love to hear him shut down the press. I would love to hear it. He did it before. But if we have to get Antonio Pierce, it's not a bad thing. I just don't think it's the best thing. But I do know this. I'm sick and tired of having this conversation with our fan base. It seems like every single year, we have a new guy. I mean, and I was willing to give the knucklehead that we picked last year or 2 years ago up, but he was a dismal failure in every aspect of his coaching career. He was horrible in front of the press, and he was worse in front of the team. He had no relationship, no drive. Players didn't want to play for him. Why would you hire a guy like that, Mark? I don't understand it. Harbaugh is a player's coach. He's a guy that gets in with his players. He's a guy who vibes with the players that he's coaching. He understands how to speak to these men. I mean, what else can you say? But I don't know who we're going to get as our head coach. A lot of rumblings and bumblings, and I hope no more fumblings on this position. We cannot afford to continue to pay people year after year after year that aren't here. I mean, people talked about bringing Gruden back. Please, no. Please, no. That is an old train that's left the track. It's tired. You know, we need to have someone who's an offensive mind in this century. But, you know, if they got Gruden back, it's better than a lot of alternatives of the guys I've talked about. It wouldn't kill me. I just wouldn't be super thrilled to have him back. And we would have to start from the beginning again. So that is all I have to say about our coaching search, other than I am tired of this conversation. That's it.
Please, please, please. Let me ride that donkey. 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 Let me ride that donkey.
All right, Sunday, January 7th at 1:25 p.m., the Denver Broncos come to the Black Hole for the final game of the 2023 season. Unbelievable. But the last game is in the house, folks. Our house. And I kind of like it. Yes, the 8-8 Denver Broncos that have resurrected their season. They benched Russell Wilson. He's not going to be on the team next year. We won't have to see him, I don't think. Unless he's picked up by someone else in our division. The good thing is the Denver Broncos have to come to our house. They're looking to win the game. Sean Payton's excited about getting 9 wins this season. That's his job, to win games. And he has confidence in Stidham, but not much. You can tell he wants to move on from this quarterback to the next. But I think he's got Stidham dialed in. I think that's why Stidham's playing, because he's playing the way Russ wouldn't play. Stidham can see over the field better. And Sean Payton likes to do a lot of slants over the middle. That's his thing. He's a middle ground. Let's pick you apart 10, 15 yards at a time and go down the field, tire out your defense, and score a touchdown. That's how Sean Payton plays. He's pretty aggressive, very smart coach, super smart. Wish he was our coach. But not a controversy on him and the way he treated Wilson on the side.
Chad Brown is our guest. Great player, 15-year NFL veteran, 3-time Pro Bowler, and a Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2023 modern era nominee. I go back a long way with him. Also, as a member of the media, did you see this coming with Russ? Were you surprised or shocked by the move?
No, I wasn't. It's been pretty clear that Russell Wilson is not Sean Payton's kind of quarterback. When you think about the numbers that Drew Brees was able to put up in New Orleans, 4,000-plus yards a season, 5,000-yard seasons, those kind of numbers, Russell Wilson wasn't coming anywhere near that. And even during that 5-game win streak, which was, to your point, Sean Payton and Russell Wilson seem to move the offense forward a bit. But if you look a little deeper and not just at the stats, you recognize all those 5 wins were greatly helped by a tremendous number of turnovers by the Broncos defense. And within Denver, we knew that was not sustainable. You cannot produce 3 turnovers every single game and give your offense short fields every time you get a turnover. And that's what was happening during that win streak. So it was a bit of a fool's gold surrounding some of those better numbers by Russ. But when you throw for 94 yards, 114 yards, 134 yards, that's not going to make Sean Payton happy, even if you're winning football games. So So the move to go to Jared Stidham instead of Russ, I think, has long been waited for from the Denver media perspective, particularly when you got a quarterback with a $250 million contract. Mm-hmm. And with the injury guarantees, very similar to what Derek Carr had with the Las Vegas Raiders, you knew this kind of thing was going to happen at some point, and now here we are, last 2 weeks of the season, Jared Stidham is under center for the Denver Broncos.
Chad, the one more thing on that, just on the Denver side before we get to the game, is how has Russ handled this? Because I think Russ has changed over his career. He has to, from Sierra. I give him all the praise in the world. You know what he does because you played for the organization. The Children's Hospital in Seattle once a week, showing up at a children's hospital, putting all his passion and money behind that. He's had a great career as a great human being. He's got the patch, Walter Payton Man of the Year. How has he handled this, and do you expect for him to talk more about it in the offseason when they eventually move on from him?
You know, Russ always presents the image as a very classy guy, and obviously the connection to the Children's Hospital, making those weekly visits, not trying to have too much fanfare around that. That's a very humble way for a guy who's not very humble with a lot of his public outreach to do things. So I've got an admiration for Russ the person. But let's not forget, you know, while folks are trying to be very sympathetic to Russ here in the situation with the Broncos, he went to ownership in Seattle and tried to get Pete Carroll fired and tried to get John Snyder, the GM, fired. So there's a little bit more to Russ than just this great guy who shows up at Children's Hospital and tries to say funny sound bites. So Russ's team, not Russ, but Russ's team, you know, has been driving this narrative that Russ was done wrong by the Broncos, and Sean Payton's move and George Payton move, the GM, were illegal as far as contracts and who can be benched and all those kind of things. So there's definitely some pushback from Russ's camp. But Russ, the player in the locker room, speaking to the media, his behavior on the sidelines, all that was what you would expect from a true professional. High level, high class.
I think he's getting a lot of pressure from the ownership of Walmart, who owns their team. So we have Walmart coming to the stadium on Sunday afternoon.
Wrapping it up with Chad Brown. So, Chad, tell me about this game. I know what Antonio Pierce is playing for. His press conferences have been amazing. I talk to him exclusively every week on the coach's show, and I know that he knows he's being evaluated, and he wants to go out with a win. And the fact that the Raiders have been winning this rivalry the last couple of years, sweeping the Broncos every year recently, I know that Sean Payton wants a win to break those sweeps and start off in a new direction. Do you think this will be a spirited contest? How do you expect the game to play out?
I think it will be a spirited contest. There will be some guys for the Broncos who probably won't be playing, some guys who are nicked up. But the guys who are on the field, it's not going to be like a preseason game where the starters are sitting down. It's going to be a complete effort. The coaches are going to put together a game plan. Sean Payton wants to finish this season with a winning record. Now, whenever Sean Payton is confronted with the losing streak to the Kansas City Chiefs, which the Broncos broke this year, the losing streak to the Las Vegas Raiders, which they're hopeful to break this weekend, Sean Payton has said, it's not my hump. I wasn't here for any of that. I just want to try to find a way to win this game. And Sean Payton even tried to act like he didn't know how long the win streak that the Raiders have over the Denver Broncos. It's like, come on, coach. You watch tape. The scoreboard comes up between every single play. You know what the score was. You've watched at least the last couple of games of tape, so you have some kind of understanding of the dominance of the Raiders over the Broncos. But, you know, Sean Payton is a bit of a quirky guy, so we will give him his illusions of that he does not know. I certainly believe he does know. He just doesn't want to talk about that. But I believe the Broncos will put it all out there and try to win this ball game. I've got tremendous respect for Antonio Pierce. As a fellow linebacker in the NFL, I like the linebacker mentality that he brings to the Raiders. And for a guy to speak to the media about going out there and inflicting pain, I know football has changed, and we're looking at a new era of football as far as the league and penalties and fines and all that stuff. But it was great to hear a linebacker talk about the physical part of the game and how important that is.
Love that. We're going to use that soundbite because that's important from one great linebacker to another.
The Broncos have a decent defense. Pretty good, actually. They did a good job against us last time we played, and that's when Russell Wilson was there. They have a more than adequate special teams, and their offense is clicking pretty good with this new scheme that he's put in, that he doesn't have to worry about Russell Wilson going rogue, because that's what he was flipped out about, that he has his plays and you're going to run his plays or else. Sounds just like our last coach. A little too stiff for me. I'd love to beat this guy. I'd love to beat Sean Payton in our house for the last game, not let him get 9 wins, and we'll both end up with 8-8 this year, but we will be above them in the standings because we beat them twice, because we beat them last time 17-16. Not a big deal, but, you know, we had Jimmy Garoppolo playing. He wasn't playing very well. I think O'Connell can do a better job. I think we can win this game. It's in our house. Let's get some Raider fans in the house and get some noise going on.
Vinny Bonsignor, who's kind enough to join us, our NFL insider, our Raiders insider. So, Vinny, let's jump in. I was just mentioning Colt Miller, Josh Jacobs. How are you covering this story with their ability to play or not, considering what's on the line on Sunday against Denver?
I think if they're good to go, they're going to play. You know, there's money involved. Josh Jacobs has roster bonuses for each game that he dresses out. So he's lost a few dollars over the last 3 weeks, unfortunately for him. Guys want to just play to the finish line, and I think that seems to be the general sentiment inside the building. So I think if guys are healthy, they're going to play.
Vinny Bonsignor is our guest. So as you sit here in front of an Ask Questions to Antonio Pierce, what's your big takeaway in regards to his motivation here? He seems to be just as worked up about this game as he has been any game. I haven't seen him flinch at all. No doubt about it. He knows this is part of his resume as an interim head coach. What is he coaching for coming up, especially the rivalry game?
Yeah, you know, I think that he's a pro's pro, and you play through the finish line. That's what you get paid to do. That's what you're obligated to do, and until you get to that finish line, everything is status quo. You're playing to win. You're playing to get through the finish line. You're playing to honor your contract. You're playing to honor your organization, the fans, everybody that, you know, has you know, a stake in this venture, whether it's your heart as a fan or your money as a fan or the owner or whoever it might be. You have a professional obligation to play as hard as you can and coach as hard as you can, through the finish line, and then let everything else takes care of itself after that. So in Antonio's mind, and I feel like everybody in that locker room, they've got one more left to go. They're going to play as hard as they can, practice as hard as they can, prepare as hard as they can. And then after that, you know, everything will sort itself out. But right now it's status quo. Do your job and do it as well as you can.
Now, on another note, this is the end of the season. The end of the season, typically we lose a lot of players. We change the coaching staff. We change things around. A lot of change from season to season in the NFL. These guys have been in the trenches for the whole season together, pretty much. And it's going to be the last game they're going to be together. Last opportunity to play. Patrick Graham looks somber but excited. It's kind of like the end of school. It's like the end of your senior year when you know you're going to go to a high school, but everybody's not going to go to the same high school. You're going to have different friends, different things, different influences in your life. That's what it's like at the end of the season, especially this season for the Raiders. We're looking for a head coach. We're looking for a head coach. Usually brings in a bunch of different coaches. Changes the atmosphere, changes the way things are. NFL's brutal, but, you know, as a player, you maybe have 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. These guys that stay in for longer are certainly the luckiest of the lucky. Because to have a long career in the NFL, it's hard, really hard. And you have to go through this transition every year. So I got to say this, I just hope we beat the Broncos like a drum. We handle them, and our defense just deflates Jared Stidham. We get some turnovers and send Sean Payton home upset. That's my goal. We're going to see him a lot in the future, and I don't want him to be happy ever coming to Las Vegas.
I know all you have one thing in common. Everybody,
you all despise the Broncos. And that's good for me. That's a good show, right? Get some donkey haters in here. But when it comes to this coach, Antonio Pierce, man, sitting down across from him 50 minutes ago, he talked about players earning their paycheck. You get paid to play. He told me exclusively, he told me the starting offensive line is intact. They're going to play. So these guys are going. They're going to play because they want to win the game. But here's where we really went off and we had fun. If we, the Raider Nation, beat the Broncos, that's 8 in a row. Do the math. 4 years times 2. We get another sweep of the Broncos. That's a really important deal for me and everybody else around here. Because when the Raiders lose to the Broncos, it hurts. You don't want to lose to the Broncos. But when the Broncos lose to the Raiders, it's a catastrophe. People are depressed in Denver. People walk around Denver and they lose their minds. And I'd like to see that happen.
So I don't even know what the point spread is, but I don't care. It's our last game at home. Come on, Raiders. Let's come on out, man. Let's come on out like the team I know we can be. O'Connell, play your best game. Get that ball out quickly. Get that ball out to people you see open. Manage this game correctly. Let's get this defense fired up for this last game against our rivals, the Denver Broncos. I hate the Broncos. I hate their fan base. I cannot stand them. I want them to be ground into fine powder and then sent home in a bag. That's how I feel about this game. And I think we can. I think our players should feel that way too. Because the way the Bronco fan is, man, you gotta just, I hope Pierce has a, you know, all the appropriate remarks from the Broncos, just like he did from the Chiefs. I hope he winds this defense up and lets them go hunting, like he says. And that's about it, man. Last game of the year, last game of the season, and then there's going to be a Super Bowl. We won't even be around the building, which is a shame. And that, on another note, you know, Mark Davis let the NFL into Las Vegas. That's how they got an opportunity to be there. And there was a lot of collusion behind the scenes, I'm sure, about the Super Bowls and all the lodging and the opportunities and blah, 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 blah. This won't be the last one there, I can guarantee you. But I sure hope we can play there in a Super Bowl in our own house. But it could be anywhere. I don't care. I would love to see this team do that, but I digress. I just want to wish the Raider Nation a great 2024. We're looking at a bunch of different changes, and I'll try to keep you guys informed after this. We'll do a post game, of course, and then we'll see what happens. Who knows? But you heard my wishes. We'll see what happens. Who knows what Mark's going to do. It's definitely a crapshoot, to coin a phrase. And let's hope it's a jackpot, because we need a jackpot there in Las Vegas in the biggest way possible. And that's all I have to say about that. Let's move on to the bone line and get these calls up. Seven seven five five Raider is the number. I know it's the end of the season, but you have any questions or comments after this game, send them on in, especially about the coaches. I'd love to hear from you guys about the coaching situation again. Now, our first caller is the Jersey Boy Raider, and this is just after the Chiefs game because he called in late, but I wanted to put it on here because I thought it was a great call. What's happening, brother?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation, this is the Jersey Boy Raider. Do you believe in Christmas miracles? Well, I do now. Because if you would have told me, looking at the stat sheet after that game, that our quarterback, not ripping on him, but our quarterback would not have completed a pass, basically in the second, third, and fourth quarter, what did it take, 60-some-odd yards? Ooh, in Kansas City, in the cold, on Christmas Day. Yeah, it's not looking too good. Well, that's where the Christmas miracle comes in. I mean, how many teams scored twice in 7 seconds on defense? Not the Raiders, usually. Now we are the eighth best team as far as defensive scoring. This doesn't happen usually, right? Especially in Kansas City. And it's, hey, listen, I bleed silver and black for the last 50-some-odd years, right? We all do. But you knew what it was going into that. Ah, great. The schedule makers, it's Christmas morning, and how that's with family, this and that. You got a lot going on. We got to watch the Raiders in Kansas City. Oh, come on. And we win the game. Christmas miracle. Never forget that one. We will never forget that one. I don't care if we won 2-0 in the snow on a safety. We beat the Chiefs in Kansas City on Christmas. I don't really ask for much. People kept asking, what do you want for Christmas? You know what? I want to give. I give my son, everything, my family. I love that. I love Christmas. I just wanted the Raiders to somehow win in Kansas City. And guess what we got? We all wanted that. So I just want to say Merry Christmas to everyone. Happy New Year. I don't know what the next 2 games bring. I don't know. And right now I don't care. Because to win that game, guys, that was the pinnacle of the season. If we could somehow find a way to get in the playoffs, wonderful. Of course. Guys, we do need a quarterback. Let's face it. I love the defense. When we had the offense, we'd have the defense. Now we have the defense, we have the offense. Oh, we could really be using cars 4,000 yards, plus what Devontae did with them. That's another story. But, boy, if we had a quarterback, if we just had a quarterback. Sam, if you want to bring that a little bit late gift for us, we'll take that for next year. But you know what? Guys, let's enjoy this one. We can win these last 2 games. We need some help. But right now, I just want to say how great it was to beat the Chiefs in Kansas City. What a Christmas miracle. What a treat. You're a mean one there, Mr. Jones. I love that play and what he did. It's okay. It's Chiefs, kid. You got to understand it's a rivalry. We're never going to give a football to a Chiefs fan. Hey, let's wish for the best on these next 2 games. Happy New Year, everyone. Be healthy, be safe, and just win, baby. Jersey Boy Raider out.
That was the pinnacle of our season. That was our Super Bowl. An amazing contest, amazing game, won in the amazing way that we've never done before, which was defensively. We pummeled the Chiefs, embarrassed the Chiefs, and I think the most embarrassing thing was when Kelce tried to say that they gave us the game, and Jones just said this, watch the tape.
Let's move on to the next game, Trav. Chiefs 14, Raiders 20.
Yeah, man. That was embarrassing.
Not a Merry Christmas in Arrowhead. What do you got? What are your first thoughts?
I mean, we handed that team a win on Christmas. We literally played Santa and gave him a present.
You know, Travis Kelce said after the game, they were like, Santa, they gave the Raiders that game. Do you feel like he's kind of just discounting the growth the defense has had?
He said they gave us that game. Yeah. Tell him to go watch that game. We took that game. Yeah, we on that.
I love it. Great call, brother. And our next caller is calling from the Mariana Islands. That's a long way from the mainland. We're calling him the 670 Raider.
Hey, Raider Greg and Raider Randy. Happy New Year. I'm sitting here in the 670. And right now it's 21:44. For those that don't understand, it's 9:44 New Year's Eve here in 670. And I know that in the mainland, it's like West Coast, it's like 3 in the morning, 3:44 in the morning. Anyways, sorry I haven't called, or I was just monitoring everything that was going on. Great wins, last 2 games. I felt defeated on the Vikings loss, but very good. I think AP should be given a chance to represent the nation and the Raiders. The last time we had a coach like that was Madden, who was a linebacker coach. Became the head coach. I know, I'm young. Wasn't around that time, or I was a baby at that time. But anyways, this next game, hope everything transitioned well. And maybe we make the playoffs. If not, then maybe we turn around and stir up at the hornet's nest. Anyways, I'm going to keep this short because I know you only have 2-3 minutes, but love you guys. Happy New Year's. God bless you all, the Raider Nation, and may the new year bring you health, prosperity, and love. Thank you all.
Well, you could be right, brother. I mean, we lost the last game. We're not going to the playoffs. I mean, we had a chance. We kind of got hosed by the Zebras, which is another story. But the change is definitely in the wind for our team. I just want us to beat the Broncos, and I hope you can enjoy that win as well. I don't know what you get in Marianas as far as what games you get. I'd be crazy. I have to look and see. But, yeah. Thank you for the call, man. Thank you so much, actually. And you have a very happy new year. That's a very blessed call. We're honored to hear from you out there in a beautiful place, I am sure, my brother. And our next caller is a passionate and a little upset Prez. You know him. You got to love him. I do for his passion. What's up, brother?
Raider Nation, Raider Greg, Raider Randy, this is the Prez. If I could take my money back from this damn Vegas trip next week, I would do just that. This damn coach, man, what are you doing, man? I mean, you know, dude, I can say, if we got something, I mean, I like to say again, I try to root for this guy, man. And then why are we still dealing with this damn rookie, man? Why are we still dealing with this dude, man? At least put somebody in to see what they can do. You trying to keep your job and you still dealing with this dude here? And then this Jack dude, you know, that's a little too cocky, don't cost us basically the game. Oh, man. Well, I mean, we're not going to go anywhere anyway. So I guess I should just kind of call my Jets and be cool. Because at the end of the day, we don't have a quarterback, man. What can you do if you have a rookie quarterback that holds the ball long and that can't throw? You know, that's not ready. And I get that they don't want to take a chance for Jimmy G to get hurt or whatever and everything. Man, I mean, unless we got some plan, we're getting another quarterback in the draft. When we just kind of like just rolling the dice to see what happens, I get that. But, man, this is getting just tiresome, you know. And those stupid trick plays, leave that shit back to Tecmo Bowl, man. Please, leave that back to Tecmo Bowl and all those other little video games, because we're not that team to be doing that. You know, just wow. And where's Hunter Winfrey at? And why are we using our tight ends? We can't keep running Zaire White and throwing to him. You know, I'm sick of this damn quarterback, man. And this, I mean, I know we can only do so much in so little times, but again, this is just frustrating, man. So, hope we pull it out. I don't think we will. And I'll be in Vegas next week. This is the Prayers, Raiders.
Well, you pretty much summed up the game. Trick plays, we're not there. Quarterback play, it's not there. We have to run the ball. We have to throw to our running back because he can't get the ball to Renfrow or our tight end. I think that's what the defense tried to steal from us because they knew he couldn't throw it. So they're trying to take all those underneath routes away.
I think that's why we did what we did. But, yeah, I don't know about O'Connell, but I think a quarterback needs a few seasons of backup before he gets another opportunity to be the guy. Who knows, though, man? I don't know. Got a new coach, got a lot of new stuff, but you're going to the last game of the season, Prez. Be happy, bro. That's a great game. That'll be a great game because it's at home and it's against the Broncos. Have a good time, man. A lot of fans wish they could be there. Just take that. And our next caller is Raider Claus, solid Raider fan. What do you got for us, brother?
Happy New Year, Raider Greg, Raider Randy, the entire Raider Nation. This is Raider Claus checking in. Disappointing game today. But again, after the emotional high of the victory in Kansas City, emotion alone can't sustain, you know, a football team. We seemed off. We seemed not as into this game as we should have been. We really beat ourselves. Penalties, mental errors, and the play calling is a head scratcher. You know, second and one, you're going to try a little razzle dazzle or something. Third and one, you're going to try. It's like, can we just, we're running between the tackles. We're getting 5-6 yards. Just keep pounding the ball. Dominate the line of scrimmage and dictate the outcome of the game. But we get too cute. And it just, I just don't think we were prepared for the game. What I'd like to see is how we respond next week. You know, if Denver still has a shot, I don't know if they're going to have a shot, but I like to be the ones to knock them out of the playoffs. And it's the home game. We're going to end the season. I'm going to be there. I have the honor of being one of the ticket holders that get to carry the flag out on the field for the national anthem, and let's see what happens. But next season, if we decide to keep Pierce, I'm okay with that. But the offensive coordinator, I don't know if it's his fault or, you know, he inherited the team, the scheme, everything, but I don't know. It just seems the defense can't win every game for us. They did okay. They weren't great. There were some really crappy calls by the refs and then some non-calls. I wish they would, you know, call the game the same way, but we can't allow ourselves to be in the position for the refs to influence the outcome of the game. We've got to take care of business. Everyone have a safe New Year, and we'll talk to you next week. I'm out.
Yeah, you know, I thought we would do better in that game in all ways, but the play calling was lame. The trick play was lame. 20 carries for a running back was certainly lame because he was making headway. And I just don't know about the pass plays. I don't know where they are, if there are any. I guess, you know, Pierce might be the guy because he might be, you know, the bargain amongst all the head coaches. And our offensive coordinator, he is young. He's so young. He needs way more time to learn the game, especially with the players we have. And he just didn't, he was thrown into a turbo mixer, man. He had to get, he was throwing the playbook. Here, get your best out of a rookie quarterback, because we're not going to have Garoppolo play. So I don't blame the young man. I think he's done as best as he could. You know, all the coaches have to agree on the plan. Coach Pierce had to write up off on this plan. And that really is in his, it's in his shoulders, this game. So that's what I mean about a rookie head coach as well. I don't know, man. I know we lost. We should have won. We could have won. We had more talent on the field. But, hey, it is what it is. Move on to Denver. Congratulations for being out on the field. That's an awesome thing. And it's a beautiful stadium. Have a great game. And I hope we beat the Broncos like a drum, my good brother. Our next caller is Raider Chris from Scranton, PA. An honest opinion you will always get. What's up, brother?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation, Raider Chris calling on the 1st of January. Happy New Year to everybody. I hope everybody had a safe and wonderful New Year's Eve. What do you say about a game like this, to be honest? We lost to a team that we shouldn't have lost to. The Colts aren't that good. But we played down to our opponent, and that's the bottom line. You know, we can't depend on our defense to score two touchdowns every goddamn game. And Aiden O'Connell's not the quarterback that we need. He's a backup, and he's going to continue to be a backup. He's not the answer for us. So let's go out, draft our quarterback, get him ready, go to camp, and get ready for next year because our playoffs are done. We're done. We have one game left, and that's it. But let's not sit here and say that our defense played great in this game because our secondary got cooked. And Epps, every time I turn around, this guy's watching a receiver catch the ball and run down the side as he's just running on the side with him. Our secondary got cooked, and we hardly got any pressure at that quarterback. Minshew, are you kidding me? But it is what it is. We're not going to win them all. And when we need to win them the most, we don't. So get ready for Denver. Happy New Year again, guys. And this ain't the way I wanted to ring in the new year, but it is what it is. Until next time, guys, stay safe. Love you. I'm out like that fat girl in dodgeball.
Yeah, our defense fell down hard. Nope, Minshew was stain free. He could wear the jersey again this week. And their running game wasn't all that prolific. It was okay. We had control over it. We just couldn't control Minshew. And our secondary got burnt. And we didn't play well on offense. I mean, if we would have been playing better on offense, that would have dictated a little bit more how this game was going. But, you know, the whole that whole trick play, the throwing and the throwing and the taking and the hiking to the running back. Listen, man, we're not even close to that. And the fact that it happened says everything about this game and pretty much the season. I appreciate your call, man. Happy New Year back to you. And our next caller is the Cheese Head Raider. What do you got for us, my good brother?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation. This is the Cheesehead Raider calling from Wisconsin, and we have lost to My Little Ponies. Now we are eliminated officially from the playoffs. And now the questions swirl. Who's at fault? What do we do moving forward? What are we going to do about AOC? Does Antonio Pierce have what it takes to be the Raiders coach? Well, still one more game to go. Clearly the last two games, the offense has not looked sharp at all. So that will bring up another question. Is Bo the one that we need to keep for an offensive coordinator? Or do we bring somebody else in new? I don't know, obviously. I mean, I think the players are playing hard for Antonio Pierce. Much like the coach up there in Detroit, he's more of like a CEO type person. He's got a good offensive coordinator, good defensive coordinator, and he just kind of manages, you know, it's kind of like, if you will, a Lombardi type person. And I think that's kind of what AP is. As much as I cannot believe I'm going to say this, Patrick Graham, I'm wondering if he was being held back by Josh McDougal's, because that defense has been playing like crazy since AP has taken over. So we've got a defensive coordinator. Again, do we have an offensive coordinator? Do we have somebody who can develop AOC? If we don't stay with AOC and we draft a quarterback, well, we need someone to develop him. Or is there someone maybe in free agency that they're looking at? A lot of questions. I honestly don't have the answers. I think we should keep AP. I think we should bring in someone who can develop AOC when you do something with that offensive line. And honestly, I would draft a defensive tackle or an inside linebacker with the first pick in the draft, wherever we wind up at. That's just my two cents. We'll see what happens when we play the Broncos. And on that, Happy New Year to everyone. Hope you had a Merry Christmas. Everyone's safe. This is T-Zed Raider. Win, lose, or tie, Raider Nation, till I die.
Well, I can tell by your call that, you know, you're like me. You're not sure. We're not sure if we keep Pierce, so, you know, the offensive coordinator. I don't know about the quarterback. I don't know about who you say we should draft. I don't know about drafting any more defense. We need a quarterback. And if we have to give up a first round pick to get one, well, let's get one. There's talk about the Bears guy, Fields. I like him. I think he has great potential. I don't think they've given him everything at the Bears. And, you know, we need a Rich Gannon. I've been saying this before. And, you know, there's so many moving parts in this team this time of year. What are you going to say? New coach means new coaches. Old coach means maybe keeping everybody, but are we all going to have time to wait for everybody to grow up? O'Connell, is he ever going to get any better? Is he going to next year all of a sudden become, you know, Gannon or who knows what? So a lot of decisions, a lot going on. I don't know. I just hope we beat the Broncos at home. That's all I care about right now. The rest is out of my hands, brother. And our next caller is Matty Raider in the house. I love this call. It sums up everything I've been saying.
Hey, what's up, Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation? It's Matty Raider, Albany, New York, calling a couple days after the Colts game. So, obviously, my first feeling is disappointment. But I had a couple days to think about it. So, you know, here's a couple of things. So, I think we've probably gotten more production out of O'Connell than the Panthers have gotten out of their number one pick. So, that's good. With that being said, we could have won this game. I feel like we're getting cute with those third and ones. I mean, White was running the ball well. Just run it right down their throat. Because we played good in the second half, sticking to that and kind of made a run at it. But, you know, thinking back, if you had told me with McDuffus running this team that we were playing for a possible playoff berth in week 16, I wouldn't have believed it. So I think we do need to get moving forward. Obviously, we take a good hard look at these coaches, figure out what we want to do. You know, we start to have an identity this year, so I don't know if we want to, you know, build on that and not make the same mistake as we did with Bisaccia. I think Harbaugh is just toying with us. He wins the championship at Michigan this year. Who knows if he's going to stay, if he's going to go. You know, word is he might take the Chargers, so I'm just done with these high expensive coaches that don't pan out and then we're left having to pay these guys. So I just want a good coordinator and get our offense going, and I want an identity with the defense to just run over teams and be scared of us. But anyways, with that being said, Happy New Year's, guys. Wishing you all the best, and talk to you soon after the Broncos game. Okay, let's beat them. Bye.
Again, we don't know where we're going. We don't know Mark Davis. You have doubts about Harbaugh. I don't know. If he wins the national championship, maybe he'll stay there. Maybe that's his swan song. Who knows? And the Chargers' job is much nicer looking than our job. Way nicer. He's in a new stadium, too. He's there. You know, he's got a great quarterback. I'm sure he'll get all the money he needs. Of course, the Spanos is a pretty cheap group of people, but who knows? I'm not holding my breath for him, but I don't know who's going to be there. So all the questions about quarterback and this team and everything, it's all out the window. It's a crapshoot, like Vegas. It's a crapshoot. We'll just have to wait and see. But I like your last part of beat the Broncos. I love it. And last but never least, the Jersey Boy Raider with some wisdom. I kind of like it.
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation, this is the Jersey Boy Raider. Well, that's a wrap, unofficially. One more against the Donkeys. Still like to sweep them, as always. We still have that to look forward to. But, you know, coming off of that Christmas Day win, and we all loved it. I love it, as you say, Raider Greg. We all did. That's the ultimate Christmas present for a Raider fan, to go into KC and beat them. So you come off of that game, and we just couldn't get anything going against the Colts. It was always there, but you had a feeling. And each drive was just stalled. Now, of all teams right now to lose on penalties, big penalties, only a few, by the way, with that five or, I think, seven penalties. One was a delay on the punt. So maybe six penalties, but four costly penalties. You look at Jack Jones. The offside on the kick, on the field goal, I don't know if it was or not. Still called, and then the interference. A little sketchy as well. Then Illuminar, I believe. And then offensive coordinator. Was it Bo Hardigree? Oh, please. I've had enough. You got third and one twice, right, on the 50 or 45-yard line. And what do? We either throw long or throw – he dials up some crazy play where it doesn't have to throw here. And then you got Jacoby Myers. He's got to throw back over to O'Connell. And how, you know how many things had to go right on that play to work? And he snuffed it right out. And of course, we get a fourth and one for the second straight time. And both times, false starts. Punt and punt. Thank God for Cole. He's amazing, but still. And they drove all the way down the field, one of them, to score the Colts. But, you know, the coordinator, I don't know what he's doing. But, you know, Antonio Pierce had something early in the season. And I thought he lost his candidacy for the job right there, that game, end of the half. When he decided to kick, because he didn't want to put his quarterback, he wanted to protect his young quarterback. Well, then why are we not just picking up the third and one when you had Zamir White running downhill and you got to throw these long passes to force the fourth and one? Why are you protecting your young quarterback there? Okay. It'd be interesting to see what we do moving forward real quick. You had Rich Bisaccia, who came into the same situation, even lost their number one wide receiver, takes the team to the playoffs and gets basically fired. It'll be interesting what they do with Antonio Pierce. Same situation, but not going to the playoffs. Let's see how this pans out. I personally think he's a great guy. He's like Aiden O'Connell. Great guys, doing their best, playing hard, learning on the fly. Are they the guys, though? Right? Are they the guys? That's the question going into the offseason. Other than that, guys, hey, tough game. Was right there to win. We beat ourselves. Penalties beat us. Ironically, the least penalized team in the league. And we used to be the most penalized for years, and that's exactly what beat us. So, tough loss. Love to beat the Donkeys at home to finish out the season, and hey, man, go into off season and see where we can do.
Well, you know, just like everything else, it's up in the air. This game, totally winnable game. Play calling was absolutely a question, and I had to scratch my head a few times. That goes on the head coach, everybody. Don't just think that's the offensive coordinator's bungling. The head coach has to check off on the play sheet for this game. And so I don't know what's happening on that plane. I don't know, and I can't even guess. I don't want to venture to guess. Pierce has been a coach for 2 years, and he's a Raider, which, you know, makes a difference. I know there's big changes up ahead. We're just going to have to wait and see. But I like the Go Broncos part of everything because we want to beat the Broncos at home for sure in our house. Love the call, brother. So on that note, Happy New Year to everyone. I hope this new year is prosperous. We see some great things happening. And my pitbull wants to say one thing to the Broncos as they come onto the field. That's what she has to say, and I agree 100%. Raider Nation, I am Raider Greg, and I am out.